Please turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 1, that's page 950 in the Pew Bibles. Mark chapter 1. This is a sermon that was prepared and preached several years ago here. I hope there will be some blessing nevertheless in the second hearing of it. Mark chapter 1 at verse 40. Let us hear God's word. Now, a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him, and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him, and sent him away at once, and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them." However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely, and to spread the matter, so Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. Here ends the reading of God's word. This is the last little bit of Mark chapter 1, a rather remarkable chapter. Jesus comes upon the scene in Galilee. Perhaps it's better to say he bursts upon the scene in Galilee. And in this chapter, pours himself into his ministry. Please keep your Bible open at Mark 1 and follow as I go through the chapter in 2 minutes to give the context of the passage that we'll be looking at the end of the chapter. And as we do this, please take note of the pace of these opening days of Jesus' ministry. In verses 1 through 8, Mark begins with John the Baptist's ministry of preparation for Jesus. Then in verses 9 through 11, Jesus appears and comes to the Jordan River to be baptized. And immediately, Mark says, coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit descending as a dove. Note that word, immediately. Then in verse 12, we're told that immediately the Spirit drives him into the wilderness. There he does battle with the devil and wins the victory over him. Immediately, it says. Then, victorious over the devil, in verses 14 and 15, Jesus, the Messiah, begins his long-awaited ministry. The time is fulfilled, he says, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Already, I think, you can see the vigor and pace of his ministry. Then on to the calling of the first disciples, the fishermen, Peter and Andrew. Verse 18 says that immediately they left their nets and followed him. Then in the next verse, verse 19, James and John, their co-workers, immediately left their father Zebedee and went after him. Then, verse 21, Jesus goes into Capernaum. And Mark tells us that immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught. In that synagogue in Capernaum, verses 23 through 25, he casts out a demon. And it says in verse 28 that immediately his fame spreads. Verse 29, immediately after they had come out of the synagogue, he entered Simon and Andrew's house, and there Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever. And of course, immediately they told him about her. And verse 31, he then took her by the hand, and immediately the fever left her. The result was that in verse 32, that very evening, The whole city, it tells us, was gathered together at the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. What a beginning to his ministry. Verse 35, then, there's a quiet interlude. For as Jesus, early in the morning, goes out to pray and commune with his Father. But then he's on the go again. Verses 36 through 38. He said to his disciples, "Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." He came to preach. And it says, he preached in their synagogues throughout Galilee. Well, perhaps somewhat breathless now, we come to the end of the chapter, where we see this brief but tender encounter with a leper. It's just 6 verses, a short interaction, possibly no more than a couple of minutes. But it's a very rich encounter. It's recorded in all 3 synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Alan Cole comments that it's a little vignette of a type of incident which must have been repeated many times in the unrecorded ministry of our Savior, which, as the Apostle John reminds us, was much more extensive than our records show, our scanty records. As we look at the passage, we'll break it down into 4 parts. First, in verse 40, we see the leper's plea. Then, the next 2 verses, we see Jesus' response to the leper. Then, in verses 43 and 44, we see Jesus' command to the now healed man. And then, in verse 45, we'll see what the healed man actually did. So, the leper's plea, Jesus' response to him, Jesus' command to the man now healed, and finally, what the healed man did. And we'll have a couple of points of application after that. So first of all, the leper's plea in verse 40. It says, Mark says, a leper came to him. Now let's stop right there. That's rather remarkable. It's not what you'd expect because of the teaching, what the law taught. Let me read from Leviticus chapter 13. The Lord says this, "Now the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn, and his head bare, and he shall cover his moustache and cry, 'Unclean, unclean.' He shall be unclean. All the days he has the sore, he shall be unclean. He is unclean, and he shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp." That was the situation of this leper. He was an outcast, reproached by all. So it's very remarkable that he should just come right up to Jesus. And the other healing of lepers, remember there were 10 of them in Luke chapter 17, it says that the lepers stood at a distance and raised their voices. But not this man. He comes right up to Jesus. Was this presumption? No, it wasn't. This man knew that Jesus had the power to heal him. The leprosy would be gone. There would be no violation of the law and no spread of infection. This was not presumption. This was true and living faith. Faith expressed in coming boldly but reverently to Jesus. One of the translations, it says, beseeching him, falling on his knees before him. Luke's version, it says, he fell on his face. And in Matthew's account, most graphically, it says that he worshipped him. As did the wise men, he fell down and worshipped him. Here is true and living faith. "If you are willing," he says, was this uncertainty? No, it was simply his recognition that Jesus could do as he pleased. He knew that Jesus had the power to heal him, but he didn't know if it was his will to heal him. So he said, "If you're willing." And by the way, that should be the attitude of all of us when we come to God to ask for anything, if you're willing. He showed here a holy respect for Jesus. In the next two verses, we then see Jesus' response to the man. We're told here in verse 41 that Jesus was moved with compassion. Literally, Hendrickson comments, literally moved in his inner being. And again in the Gospels, we see Jesus' compassion. Let me draw out several examples from Matthew. In Matthew chapter 9, there's a summary statement of Jesus' ministry in Galilee in a nutshell. It says this: Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But it says, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Moved with compassion. In Matthew 14, we were told about Jesus withdrawing to a deserted place after the death of John the Baptist. But it says, but when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. In the very next chapter, Matthew 15, Matthew tells us about the feeding of the 4,000 and records this. Jesus, it says, called his disciples to himself and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. I do not want to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way. And one more example from Matthew chapter 20 about the healing of two blind men in Jericho. These men called out to him. And it says that Jesus stood still and called them and said, What do you want me to do for you? They said to him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. So Jesus had compassion, it says, and touched their eyes. And immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. We see here Jesus' compassion, not just a warm feeling. Jesus' compassion compelled him to express that compassion in deeds of love. Now back to our passage in Mark. It says that Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand to the leper and touched him. Now, of course, Jesus could have healed with a mere word. He did that even long distance in Matthew 8 with the centurion's servant. He could have done it without touching him. But Jesus touched this man, this poor, unclean leper, and so doing expressed his love and fellow feeling for him. Just think about that. How many years might it have been since that man had been touched by a human hand? Behold Jesus. How tender he is towards the weak and the helpless. And that tenderness had been prophesied long before in the prophecy of Isaiah. Isaiah said, He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. Also Isaiah said later, A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench. And Jesus says to this man, I am willing, be cleansed. The leper had said, If you're willing. Jesus says, I am willing. How wonderful. And then Jesus spoke the words that the man most wanted to hear. Be cleansed. He healed with a word, a powerful, effective word. And immediately, it says, there's the word again. Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Well then, we move to Jesus' command to the now healed man in verses 43 and 44. Jesus, it says then, warned the man strictly not to publicize his healing and immediately sent him away. Now, why would Jesus say this and do this? Jesus didn't want people to follow him just because he was a miracle worker, or even just so they could get healed. Jesus was both a teacher and a healer, but as verse 38 tells us, he was foremost a teacher and preacher. Alan Cole remarks that this is one of the paradoxes of the Christ. He sees the hungry multitude. He has pity on them and feeds them. And yet he rebukes multitudes who come to him for feeding. He has compassion on the sick. He does not turn them away when they come for healing, but he makes no attempt to seek out the sick and heal them. We'll pick this up again later. Jesus then tells the man to go and show himself to the priest, to show that he was healed, and offer a thank offering for his cleansing, as the law required. This would allow the man to re-enter human society. But also note that what Jesus says, that when the man showed himself to the priest, it would be a testimony to them. It says that in verse 44. Jesus didn't want the man to publicize the miracle generally, but he wanted the priests, the spiritual leaders of the people, to hear this man's testimony and see the evidence of his healing. Calvin comments, as the leper came into the presence of the priests at Christ's command, here was a testimony that made them inexcusable. If they had been open to the cure, they could have been drawn to Christ. Well, lastly then, in this account, we look at what the now healed man did in the last verse. In a way, I suppose we can understand why he did what he did. He'd been healed by Jesus in a marvelous way. He wanted everyone to know about it. He was deeply thankful. He loved and adored Jesus. He wanted to tell what God had done for him. He had a zeal for Jesus, but his zeal was misdirected. And to be blunt, he was outright disobedient to Jesus. Jesus had warned him sternly, "See that you say nothing to anyone." It was very clear and very definite. Jesus as Lord of glory is always to be obeyed, completely and without question. As Samuel had said to Saul 1,000 years before, "Has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord?" Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. The result was that Jesus was mobbed everywhere he went and had to stay out in unpopulated areas. A true believer with misplaced zeal can unintentionally make trouble. Disobedience to Jesus can only harm the work of his kingdom. Well, I'd like now to pick up on several points as we conclude. Points of application. First, about prayer, as we consider this man coming and bowing before Jesus. Let me ask this question. How is your prayer life? The faith of this leper gave him a holy boldness. He came right up to Jesus, falling down and worshipping him, beseeching him to heal him. Are you in your prayer life like this man, driven to a holy boldness? Pray boldly. Secondly, is your prayer like his, worshipful, adoring? Pray reverently. Pray boldly, pray reverently. But also, thirdly, pray in willing submission to God's will. If you are willing, said the man, to Jesus, "You can make me clean." This man came to Jesus boldly but submissively. It can be hard to pray that way. We all know that. But do pray submissively. Fourthly, this man came with expectation, looking to Jesus, not just thinking, "Well, I'll give this a go. We'll see what he can do. Maybe this will work and maybe it won't." No, this man came with expectation. So pray expectantly. We don't always do that, do we? Our prayers can get stale, formalized, dry, uncertain. If you find that, pray with the disciples for more faith. So putting these together, I think we're taught here to pray boldly, reverently, submissively, and expectantly. Secondly, about ministry of mercy. As we noted, Jesus was moved with compassion when the leper came to him, asking to be healed. We should note that the leper came to him seeking healing. Jesus didn't seek him out. And that was the way it was throughout Jesus' ministry in the Gospels. As far as we can tell, Jesus didn't seek out people who needed physical healing. They always came to him. As verse 38 tells us, Jesus set out on a preaching ministry. And everywhere he went, there were people who came to him seeking healing. Now, it's not always that way for us. Our situation is not just quite like Jesus. But the point is that gospel witness and mercy ministry go together. Each can open doors for the other. People have physical needs that we must seek to fill, when we should always be full of compassion and ready to help those in need. But we should also always remember that the deepest need of every human being on earth is salvation from sin. Jesus' conscious priority here was on preaching so that people would be saved from sin. But in his compassion, he also healed multitudes of sick people who came to him. Zeal is a great thing. This is the final point. Excuse me, next to final point. About zeal. Zeal is a great thing, but beware of misdirected zeal. Before you launch into something, step back. Is there anything in the Word of God that bears on what you're proposing? Seek direction from God in prayer. Seek counsel. And if it still looks good, by all means, do it. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might, says the author of Ecclesiastes. Moses said to the disciples, to the Israelites in Deuteronomy, that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength and all your might. Zeal is good. Be zealous, but be careful to think it through carefully before you launch out. Finally, since Jesus is the central figure here, let's consider him as he's revealed in this incident and throughout the chapter. What do you see here of Jesus? Well, of course, you see many things. But particularly, I think what you see here in this interaction with the leper is infinite compassion coupled with sovereign power. Infinite compassion coupled with sovereign power. Isn't Jesus amazing? Doesn't this chapter make you love him? Doesn't it make you want to take your troubles to him, as this man did? Makes me think about his invitation in Matthew 11. "Come to me," he said, "all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. So then, what is your situation? What are your needs, concerns, burdens? Jesus can meet them. He's not here on earth anymore, but he's in heaven now, ruling over everything and making intercession for us, praying to God the Father for us. Do you have physical or material concerns? Concerns perhaps about your work or your financial well-being or your health? Take your need to Jesus, sovereign and compassionate. Do you have spiritual needs? Perhaps there's a problem of sin in your life, or maybe you have a broken or damaged relationship with someone else. If so, bring it to Jesus. Perhaps you have a spiritual concern for a close friend or a family member. Take it to Jesus. Whatever your need is, Jesus has both the compassion and the power to meet that need. Please think about it. So let's look to him now in prayer. Lord, we thank you for how you are revealed in this chapter. We thank you for your power displayed in the healing. We thank you especially for your compassion and your love. And indeed, Lord, you showed that through your death on the cross for our sins. How wonderful that is. Cause us never to take it for granted. And make us indeed, Lord, loving and compassionate and kind to one another and to all to whom we come in contact, with whom we come in contact. Hear this prayer, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.